You need physiology to understand why the plant is dying, and you need genetics to identify the plants with the adequate genetic variation to survive.
Hello everyone, this is José Bolaños from the International Union of Forest Research Organizations, IUFRO, the Global Network for Forest Science Cooperation, and you're listening to Season 2 of Branching Out, the Forest Podcast. It's great to have you with us as we explore more forest science. Last time, we talked about IUFRO's Division 1, Silviculture, with its two co-coordinators. Today is the turn of Division 2, Physiology and Genetics. So secure your gene pool, this is going to be quite the ride. And here with me is my co-host, Nilo, I hope I pronounced this right, Viyaya, from the International Forestry Student Association, IFSA. Please, Nilo, the forest floor is yours.
Hello everyone, my name is Nilo Vijaya. I'm a member of International Forestry Student Association, and I'm the focal point of IFSA Forest Program. I am currently a student at Universitas Gadjah Mada in Indonesia, where I serve as the president of the IFSA local committee. And as a forestry student specializing in forest policy, I am particularly excited to engage with IUFRO Division 2, which is not very much of what I'm doing daily. Thank you, IUFRO, for this institutional opportunity.
Welcome to Branching Out. And we have today the two co-coordinators of Division 2 here to answer some questions, you know, a little bit about their stories and provide their expertise. And so if I may ask you to briefly introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. My name is Amanda de la Torre. I am an associate professor of forest genetics. I live in Arizona in a city called Flagstaff. That's in the mountains of Arizona in the United States, and I have been here for the last 6 years. I joined IUFRO as Division 2 coordinator this summer, so I'm very new, but I have been working for IUFRO for several years as a task force coordinator before.
So welcome, Amanda. Now, Santiago.
Hello, everybody. I'm Santiago González Martínez, but everybody calls me Santi. And I'm research director at EY in France. And I'm based in Bordeaux, the town of Bordeaux in southwestern France. I have developed all my career working with population genetics, mostly in trees, of course. And what is population genetics? It's basically looking how genetic diversity is distributed among or within populations, and what is the processes and factors that will increase diversity or reduce diversity.
To help us to get to know you better, is there a specific tree, species, or ecosystem that you find it especially fascinating, and what drives you to it?
I'm fascinated by conifers because they are species that in having the very great diversity of environments, and you can find conifers in the southern hemisphere, in semi-tropical forests. You can have them in the northern hemisphere, in these very large forests in northern Europe and Asia, in the tundra. And what they make them particularly interesting for me is the incredible adaptation they had to the environments, like adaptation to fire. There is a very interesting species that are endemic species from the Canary Islands that is adapted to live under the shadow of the volcanoes. So they have specific adaptations to thrive after volcanic eruption.
I'm originally from Peru, and my initial studies when I did my master's degree were on tropical species in the Amazon, because in Peru we have a big Amazon forest. That's something that people don't really know about, but we share the Amazon forest with Brazil and other countries in South America. I really wanted to continue doing genetics of tropical species, but unfortunately, that's a very undeveloped field studies. When I went abroad, I went to study to Canada, and of course, there's no tropical species there, just conifers. So I started working with conifers. That was what's important there. Then after that, I kind of liked the group. And there's actually very fascinating questions about gymnosperms in general and how different they are to flowering plants and flowering trees. And there, I think there's a lot of questions that remain. We don't know a lot about their genomics, how they evolve on time, why do they have these such ginormous genomes? What does that has to do with the levels of adaptation to different climates and environments? I think that I really like long generation trees in general, but I think there's gymnosperms are a group of very interesting species. And I do have some favorites. I like Douglas fir very much. I think it has a very complex biogeographic history and lots of different adaptations. I like giant sequoia and redwoods because, you know, they live thousands of years and they're just fascinating. I like trees in general.
I think we all here like trees in this podcast. As I mentioned at the beginning, IUFRO is the global network for forest science cooperation. There's more than 600 member organizations around the world. And as a scientist, sometimes things do not go as planned. Can you tell us about a time when a project or a hypothesis didn't go as planned? And how do you handle the situation? What did you learn from it?
I would say, if I can start with this question, because there are so many things that have gone wrong with my research. Naturally, I would say that this is very common in science, and I could go further to say that it's actually one of the basis for scientific discovery. So very often we find things by chance or by mistake. And getting more specific, for instance, I can't remember a case where we were planting a very large experiment to look how different trees coming from different provenances, so different populations, how they grow in the same environment. And we were so unlucky that we were planting this experiment just a year that was pretty dry, there was almost no rain in summer, and most of the experiment died. And it was kind of tragic, right? But actually, what is very important when something goes wrong is to keep an open mind. And maybe we could think about it like a survival experiment and focus not so much on companion growth, but see which population, what trees has survived. And naturally, at the end, it was much more interesting than our original idea, because we were able to find some populations and some trees that were able to sleep even in these really awful conditions. I think we learned some lesson there.
I think you have to be really creative. And I always tell, you know, my students to have plan B, C, D. You can design your experiment, but, you know, you never know. Something goes wrong, you have to keep going, right? So, yeah, that's why we have several experiments, and some of them last several years. But that's part of doing science, right? It's fascinating because, you know, it's just trial and error. And at the end, something will work. You're just learning. And I think it's a learning experience for students too, because they have to like be able to come up with ideas, like troubleshoot if there's like a problem. And that could be at several levels, right? There could be something related with growing plants in the greenhouse, but it could be something with data analysis as well. Or, you know, the data doesn't look like it was supposed to look like. So there's a lot of levels in which things can go wrong, and the ability to think ahead and find solutions to the problem. I think that's the main learning experience there, to be able to come up with something that will work at the end.
That's a great story. Moving on to the topic of your division, physiology and genetics, how can you explain what this is in simple terms?
Oof, what a question, Nilo. I would say that physiology is trying to explain the mechanisms, how trees function, and then genetics could be the genes underlying genes that control this function. And when I think in both together, I think they are really important to understand how forests survive, adapt, reproduce, and are able to respond to changes like environmental changes or like the increased human pressure that they are affecting almost all ecosystems in Earth. Both physiology and genetics are fundamental to help forests to survive. And we tend to see genetic diversity and this variation in functions and in genes. Like, it's a kind of insurance when we think in a future that is uncertain and we don't know how the environment is going to change and what is going to bring. But you have a system that is very diverse. This diversity can be transferred to the next generations. Then you are kind of ready for everything that comes, right? And genetics is exactly studying that and trying to understand the process that they like, the increase or decrease of genetic diversity in the ecosystems.
The patient too is actually very broad and very wide because physiology and genetics are very broad topics. We do have a lot of different working parties in physiology and genetics. In physiology, so physiology is everything that has to do with tree structure function in how the individuals respond to changes in their environment, right? So everything that allows a plant to survive and grow into a mature plant. Genetics more apply to breeding, for example. How can we use genetics to make breeding or management more efficient and faster? So that's something that is also a group of what the division looks at, one of the different working parties. And there's other working parties that are more specific into species that are only occur in certain geographic areas. So yeah, it's very broad, and we do have a lot of scientists with different expertise. I think physiology and genetics are very complementary. So I have been a geneticist my whole life and just recently got into physiological studies. But the more I know, the more I understand that they're actually very complementary subjects.
We discussed forest genetic resources on our previous season with Mariana Westengren, and also Santiago did a very good interview with AUFRO TV during the AUFRO World Congress 2024 in Stockholm, Sweden. I recommend everybody that if you have a chance to go back and check those out, please do so. And just to continue on the same topic, has there been any recent advancements on physiology or genetics, innovative approach that stands out?
I would say that genetics is a field that is progressing very, very fast. And this is because the development of new genome sequencing technology. Now we can really have access to genomic information in full detail. I remember when the first human genome was sequenced, it took very long, it was very expensive. Now sequencing a genome is terminally cheap and fast. And this is fostering the development of applications that allow us to predict how populations will respond to the future just based on the genomic information that is contained in the individual that constitute these populations. And I think that is really interesting. On one side, to understand better the drivers of adaptation, but also to select the best adapted resources. With genomics, we can do now much more than we used to be. And I think it's probably the revolution or the new century in genetics, right? I don't know if you would agree, Amanda, with this.
The genetics research in tree species is not as advanced as the genetics research on plants in general, like model species and crops. I think the main genomic discovery of this last 10 years is definitely CRISPR technology, gene editing. And CRISPR has changed the way how we understand genetics and genomics in a way that we could have not predicted 50 years ago. Because right now we're able to modify the DNA and create pretty much almost any phenotype we would like to. Of course, as I said before, we see that it's being used mostly in crop species. So genetically modified crops are everywhere in the U.S. We have several species, you know, soybean, cotton, canola, corn. 90% of the crops that we see in the country are genetically modified. They were transformed because of CRISPR technology. There's like a wide use right now of CRISPR. Unfortunately, in trees, we only see that in poplar and a couple other species. None of them are conifers for obvious reasons. We cannot do genetic modification in conifers yet. I would say that, yes, as Sandy was mentioning, one of the perhaps the greatest achievements with conifers in the last few years are that we now have several sequence genomes. Some of them are chromosome scale these days so that we can finally know where the genes of interest are, where are they located, and which chromosomes. Because for many, many years, we did genetics and genomic studies, and we found all these genes of interest, and we had no idea where they were located because there was no reference genomes, one, or if they were, they were so fragmented. Imagine like a puzzle of 10,000 pieces or even more. And you know that everything is in there, but how do you put together the pieces, right? It's just like this. It was impossible, but now it is possible because sequencing technologies are getting better. But I would say probably the most important thing is that computational tools are getting better. Because really working with this massive amount of data was just impossible just a few years ago. Another thing that I want to mention that is very interesting too is the use of machine learning in AI tools to predict how species will perform under changes in the climate. We had machine learning for a long time, but I don't think it was used very much in like forest genetics. And now we see more papers and they use all this ecological niche modeling or predict how the species distribution is going to look based on different climatic models.
That's very insightful. Thanks, Amanda and Santi. How does iUFRO facilitate sharing knowledge and resources among researchers globally?
As scientists, we have a tendency to work in small teams, a little bit in our discipline. And we have networks at the national level, perhaps, or at the continental level. You know, there are a number of, for instance, here in Europe, we have Portuguese for Interaction, but UFO is the global network. To my knowledge, it's the only one that is really bringing people from all around the world together. And that is very important because we work very much in very often in the same topic, but we don't communicate so much. And UFO has a very important role for bringing not only people from the same discipline, like geneticists, that we are a small community, we know each other quite well, but also with other disciplines that are very much connected, like agriculture or social sciences. For me, they have been useful for very long, and I have always appreciated the opportunity for interaction, kind of very open, relaxed way with everybody's welcome when there is a role for people or from very young researchers to others with a bit more experience.
And how about you, Amanda?
I think iUFRO is a great organization in the sense that it creates a hub for collaboration and communication among researchers. So there's several ways that iUFRO does that. We organize meetings in different countries. All the different working parties, they have meetings within the members, but they also organize seminars, webinars, conferences. In that way, they allow the community to share, exchange their knowledge and their latest research findings. We also have newsletters. iUFRO sends a lot of communications with news reports, telling all the members what's going on. iUFRO works everywhere in the world. There's a lot of things going on all the time. So it's kind of hard to keep track of that. But there's very interesting things going on. Pretty much every couple of months, there's an event going on somewhere in the world about genetics or physiology. And I think in that way, iUFRO does a very nice work of being this professional network for people in forest research.
The next question is, why should someone who does not work in physiology or genetics care about the research that you do? Why is this research so important?
Anyone that cares about forests also cares about research on physiology and genetics, even if they don't know yet about it, because these disciplines are at the base of increasing forest resilience, that is the capacity of forests to respond to disturbances, and that's as a result to foster healthier or more productive forests. It's like genetic diversity is our insurance for a future that we don't know how it's going to be.
I think everyone can agree that forests are very important for the world. They, I think, 30% of the territory on Earth, and they play very important roles in ecosystem function. They regulate the climate, sequester carbon, and sustain a lot of wild animal species. We need to preserve the forest if we humans would like to be able to survive in the long term. So I think we are dependent on forests. As Santi was saying, if we think about forest resilient under climate change, we definitely need some physiology and genetics tools, because that is the best way to ensure that the trees, the forests are going to survive in the long term. The best way to understand how we as humans can help the forest.
It's already in our lives. From IFSA's perspective, how do you see the role of young researchers in relation to your division?
I think we are trying hard to get early career researchers, young people into our division and into our work in general. So we work a lot with students, and it's very clear that you guys are the future. I spend a lot of time with my PhD students, for instance, and I like we contribute to maybe a wider experience, but we tend to think in boxes somehow. And then young people are so creative and has this capacity to address old problems, new problems with a lot of imaginations.
I believe young researchers are very important for the division. We were talking with Santi last meeting about ways to communicate what we do more to young audiences and a way to recruit more young researchers in the division. Because also Santi mentioned, we are a small community and we cannot train that many students in our labs because we're not so many. But hopefully we can communicate what we do to a larger audience in a way that we can attract more young people to join studies in genetics and physiology. I tell my students all the time, there's never a silly or a dumb question in science. So if you're interested about something, just bring your question to the lab and we will test it and we will design an experiment. Sometimes questions that may seem like very simple turn out to be great discoveries and things. So I think creativity and just keep young researchers involved in a way that they can be motivated to improve the science, so make it better. And, you know, that's the future.
We've been quite on a ride today. I mean, we started talking about the favorite trees for the both of you. We talk about the lesson learned and how this can be twisted into good results when plants die. To me, now it's even clearer the concept of physiology and genetics. We hear about the importance of recent discoveries such as methods of sequencing and also the gene editing about CRISP, and how the study of genetics is obviously important for everything and everywhere. And again, I'd like to thank our guests here today, and Nilo, job well done. And thank you to Amanda and Santi, and a big thank you to our listeners. Look out for the next Branching Out episode, where we will explore the third division of IUFRO. And if you want to know more about IUFRO, you can follow us on social media or click on the link on the show notes.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you.